Hi, I'm Jessica Robinson. The North Idaho mine, where a man remains trapped 6,000 feet underground, relies on communication technology that's decades old. More advanced two-way devices are available, and in fact, required for coal mines, but that technology is not mandated at metal mines like the Lucky Friday. Rescue crews have bored 2-inch diameter holes through rock to send a camera down where they think 53-year-old miner Larry Merrick is stranded. As I discovered, Merrick has no communication device on him. So you're working more than a mile below the surface of the earth and there's a cave-in. How do you let someone know you're alive?
Pounding on piping or even shouting.
That's Mike Sommerkamp, who spent 30 years working underground as an electrician at the Galena mine. He says mines have wired phone systems, but
if there is anything that close by him, it'd be at least probably 75 to 100 feet away.
The company that owns the Lucky Friday mine confirms that and says the phone closest to Merrick is likely around 150 feet away. The silver, lead, and zinc mine is rigged up with regular phones underground, like the landline you grew up with. Plus, phones that act as pagers at key points in the mine. Melanie Hennessy is a spokeswoman for Hecla Mining. She says Merrick carried no personal communication device, and her company doesn't require one underground at the Lucky Friday.
The communication system that is in place is what is operational at that depth, and what is often found at an underground mine.
But there are wireless systems that work at that depth underground. Mark Rose owns a company called Tunnel Radio in Corvallis that makes them.
Little handy talkie units. And at any point of the mine, one guy can talk to another point.
In industry jargon, the kind of system Rose's company makes is called a leaky feeder. His is among several companies that make this technology. Rose says he's installed it in silver mines similar to the Lucky Friday, including one in Alaska that's owned by Hecla. He's visited the Lucky Friday and estimates installing a leaky feeder system there would cost about $200,000.
We have to lay a cable, special cable. It's the same technology used in buildings and in subways.
Would this kind of technology work at the level, 6,000 feet down that we're talking about at the Lucky Friday?
Have it for lunch every day.
That's a yes.
Yes.
In fact, the Miner Act of 2006 that Congress passed in the wake of the Sago mine disaster in West Virginia mandates that miners carry two-way wireless communication devices. The law also requires them to wear a tracking chip that can help rescuers locate them. But here's the thing about that law.
Those regulations in that law only applied to underground coal mines.
Not metal mines, says Celeste Monforton. She teaches at the George Washington University School of Public Health and used to work at the Mine Safety and Health Administration.
I have, over the last 5 years, often thought about the law and what's going to happen the next time there's a disaster in a metal mine and people realize, oh my gosh, there's no requirements for communication for metal miners.
So while the coal industry has been stringing cable through mines and sending miners out with Motorola radios and chips in their helmets, industry experts say mines like the Lucky Friday have by and large stuck with communication systems that date back to the 1970s. Mine industry attorney Ed Green says part of the reason for separate regulations is that metal mines face less of a risk of explosions.
Politics being what they are, I think the focus of the Congress was on the matter at hand, which was an underground coal mine explosion.
It's not clear whether any two-way communication device would have helped Larry Merrick after the Lucky Friday cave-in. And there's still a question of how much damage such a system can sustain in a collapse or explosion. Hecla Mining says the camera sent down into the cave-in area shows that there is a space, but so far, there's no sign of Merrick. I'm Jessica Robinson reporting.